Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Joshua Wenje. Just here as normal. I'm going to go over a couple of things, and hopefully somebody calls in and we can answer a couple of questions. I decided to do my podcast a little earlier today. I did get some disturbing news about a family member, so forgive me if my energy level isn't where it needs to be. So I am going to try to go over a couple of things. I really would prefer people calling in over me actually going over everything that I laid out here. The first thing I'm going to do, let me just send a reminder message really quick and just let people know I'm live now. So, if they're a new adjuster, go ahead and call in with a question. So let me do that really quick. Forgive me. And we'll get into a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. One moment here. Let's see. Podcast live now. Here. New adjuster. Okay. Save that. Okay. All right, so I have a couple things on my list here that I wanted to go over. The first thing I wanted to say just in general is that anything that I talk about is, I mean, it comes from my experience, but it's not the gospel. So you always have to do your research on what anyone's telling you. Don't take what I say as, you know, the absolute truth. Do your research. You know, I just like to talk about different things that I've seen in the industry and try to, enlighten a few people about some things that they should look at or look for, just so they know, so that you're more aware that you're not going into something blind. And I think that's very important to have that information. And, you know, it prevents a lot of hardships. You know, there's people that have killed themselves in this field. You know, there's people that have come back to try to kill other people in this field for losing their job. And a lot of that is really from a lack of understanding. And that's why I feel that it's so important to try to give people the full picture, because someone may have been told, hey, let me come to this industry, you're going to make a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. They come on and get their license, they're on a deployment. That deployment ends in 2 weeks, and now they're mad at that team leader, supervisor, thinking that that person may have done something to them to mess up the deployment or what have you. This time around, it could just be that the client ended the deployment, but they're going to come back with a 12-gauge and take some heads off because they don't know how it really works in the IA world. And that's why I think it's critical that people have a full picture of how this works. And I know a lot of people are like, Joshua, you sometimes give out too much information, let them figure it out for themselves. But it's just my opinion. It's what I think, how I feel about it, and I just talk about how I feel. I don't necessarily, have to provide information in this way, but at this time, that's how I'm providing it. Probably in the future with the mentor-mentee thing that I'm doing, I probably back off a lot of things and just put all my energy into those mentees that want to learn some different techniques or what have you. I did have a clip. This is like the only clip I have today, but I did want to play this about my opinion. So I thought it was funny.
How do you know what's good for me?
That's my opinion!
How do you know what's good for me?
That's my opinion!
And I can't say it any more clear than that. You know, people come on there and say, well, how do you know this? How do you know that? It's just my opinion. There's other people on there that have different opinions. But as long as your opinion is respectful, we can agree to disagree and move on, you know. And like I said, a lot of this is just my opinion. That's exactly what it is. So I'm going to go ahead and get on to the next topic that I'm going to discuss here. And that's about the civil remedy notice. I put out a link a day or so ago regarding if people wanted to learn a little bit more about claims, property claims per se, and actually you can learn about different claims as well through there, different complaints that insurers or, you know, claimants bring against an insurance company. And you can see different statutes that attorneys will put in there for the complaint. You will see issues. You may not know what a deductible is. You may not know what recoverable depreciation is. You may not know what subrogation is. There's different wordings that's going to be in there that may trigger you to, hey, let me research to see what this means. Okay, this wasn't a timely response. There's so many different things that you can learn in there just by reading, and you can pick up on information in terms of timeful claim handling and best claim practices. You know, you'll see that the insured failed to pay within 90 days. You can learn so many different little things that people don't know. If you just go to these links and things that I'm providing you guys, you can learn a lot of critical information. And that's why when I'm putting this stuff out there, you guys do have to kind of follow up on it and look into it. I think the CRN website is very helpful for people that may have not had a lot of experience in this industry. You can learn different things insurance carriers have to deal with on a daily basis. I'll go ahead and go on to my next topic here. I actually do have a couple of callers on the line, so let me see if I can answer a couple of questions here. Caller 5227, you are live. Caller 5227. Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute, and I may try you again later. Caller 5692, you are live. Caller 5692, this is the last four digits of your phone number that I'm calling out. I wonder if my volume's up. Maybe people can't hear me. Let's see. I hope people can hear me. If someone can send me a DM saying if they can hear me or not. But let me try the other number here. Caller 5227, you are live. Can you hear me? Caller 5227. Okay, I'm going to put that back on mute. Hopefully people can hear me. I'll continue. If more numbers come up, I'll go over details and try to get those people to ask questions so I can, because that's really the best way for this to work is if people call in and they ask their questions, whatever it is related to the IA industry, that's the best way for me to get a lot of information out to you guys, because I'm sure a lot of the questions that you guys think are dumb or why did you even ask this, whatever, a lot of other people are thinking about those same exact questions. That's why I need you guys to call in so we can get these things answered for you guys and get it taken care of. But let me go over the next thing that I had, which was there was a post or something a couple of days ago, and I said something about how new IAs working together, you could do different things. And, you know, people throw out terms like union. I'm not saying form a union or anything like that. What I was saying is that you guys are a special breed of adjusters now coming into this industry. And from what I've observed, and this is just my opinion, a lot of new adjusters aren't really that helpful with sharing information with each other. You know, you have your select few people that you network with. And that's why I think new adjusters, you guys are in a funny place at this time because of how saturated the market is. So if I was a new adjuster, just something that I would do, I would start branching out to other new adjusters. I'll create little groups. I would have follow-up emails. Hey, you got to leave. What are you doing? How are you researching this? If you guys, like, collectively work together, you could come up with so many different things that you guys could come up with. I was thinking about just different associations you guys can form, and I'm not talking about a union. Like, so something like where you guys have a membership or something where you guys all sign up, and occasionally if someone needs an emergency a license that for a particular deployment, you guys put something in place where, you know, that whatever guidelines or policies you have for that new adjuster association, you guys can get that person that emergency license if they're on a deployment. Occasionally you can help out with, you know, it's just little things like that you can brainstorm together and figure out how you guys want to you know, network and work together. That's really what it's all about for especially newer adjusters. How can you network and work together? How can you guys build upon prior experience that you guys have in different knowledge base? I'm sure there's some people that's familiar with forming those type of organizations and working together and networking for hotel rates and networking for a position that, hey, I may not be ready for this position, but I can check within the group of new adjusters that, well, quote-unquote new adjusters that I know and let them know, hey, this person's looking for this type of job, you need this type of experience. You guys can do the same exact thing that we, quote-unquote, tenure adjusters do in terms of sharing information. You guys have the power to do the exact same thing. You got to figure it out how you want to do that. And I really think the right person, the right group of new adjusters can be very successful at how they market themselves. I'm confident in that. You just got to be willing to do it. I do see another phone number on here, so I'm going to try to see if that person has a question. Give me one moment. Caller 8845, you're live.
Yeah, I'm just listening, man.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put you back on mute, okay?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so back to the new adjusters working together. So a lot of us older adjusters, you know, we have our own little group of people that we give information to. That's just networking, right? So there's even things that I haven't shared everything that I know with people in the group. You know, there's going to be certain things that you're going to reserve for a select few. You know, that's just how the business works. I share a great deal of things, but some other things that are more coveted, I may share with only a select few people because I also got to think about if I give that information out, then that information gets back to the person that I originally got it from, and are you going to make me look good or are you going to make me look bad? So that's something else. So that's why when I say new adjusters, you guys got to do what we more tenured adjusters are doing. You guys can do the same exact thing. Pull your resources together and figure out how you guys can make that work. You got to realize that when a catastrophe hits, firms don't care how much experience you have. They need you in that seat to make them some money. So why can't you guys figure out a way to leverage yourself or build your own little network so that way, you know, a little more power than your court. Don't just let us older adjusters dictate what networking you do or whatever. Branch out yourselves and create some processes yourself and do your own thing. You don't have to take anything in business. You can always try to figure out your niche, the way that you can do things in it. So you don't have to just let us dictate everything in this field. I did see another phone number come up, so let's see if that person has a question. Caller 4839, you are live.
Hey, how you doing? I was just checking in. I'm just listening in.
Okay, no problem. I'm just going to put you on mute.
All right, thanks.
So, yeah, like I was saying with the new adjusters, I really think you guys, I don't want to brainstorm it for you guys, but I really think if you guys start communicating more with each other, you'll be surprised at how much you guys could help each other out rather than always relying 100% on a more tenured adjuster. There's things that you guys know. Like there was a new adjuster that told me today, you know, we were messaging, and I was answering some questions for him, and then he put out there that there was this one company that was doing drones, I think, for $750 a day rate on that. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't even know that. So you guys have a lot of information that you guys have within yourself, but you're giving a lot of it to us tenured adjusters, but you're not thinking about your other new adjusters that could use that information as well. That's why when you just got to figure out how you guys can use the knowledge that you guys and the resources and the connections that you know, so that way you guys can pull together as well. Speaking of drones, I know I just think it's something that's going to keep coming up and it's only going to be improved upon. and more companies are going to want to start using it. There's already companies using it, and I think it's just smart to get one. Now, I'm not telling you have to get one or whatever, but it doesn't hurt to take the course. Not even take the course. You can just take the test, study the study guide, and go take the test. That's what a couple of people have done, and what that cost them like $130, $140, and they just did that without taking, you know, a $500, $600 course. And that's also, you know, as some of those graphs that I put out and the questions that I put out this week, licenses and experience level really didn't have a correlation between who was deployed or who wasn't deployed. A lot of it was sporadic. So when you're in a market that's so sporadic, there's no definite or set rules as to who gets the deployment. It's almost like not Russian roulette, but it's like roulette. You put your information on a wheel or something, and they spin the ball, and then you eventually get hit. I mean, to a certain degree, but you can see from people who are deployed, who aren't deployed, that there isn't really one way or another. There's no guide that says you have to have this many licenses, this many certifications, and you're going to get deployed. A lot of it is networking. Networking, networking, networking. That's what a lot of it really comes down to. Just like there's people working from home, you know, they have less. This Harvey was their first storm. This past hurricane was their first time being an adjuster, and they're working from home, still making a cat pay. So why can't you guys do that same exact thing? If you guys just network, you gotta realize how much power you guys have as well as new adjusters. And all adjusters in general, just you guys got to start networking and looking out for each other. There's a group of adjusters, old school adjusters, whatever you want to call them, that they keep all the stuff to themselves. They have their own little network. They have their own little back channels, and they share their information that way. I'm not faulting them for it. I used to be in that little crowd getting information while I could. Then I got out. But what I'm saying is that there's jobs and there's positions out there. You got to politic your way into getting that information. You got to grind. You got to make yourself marketable. You got to show people that you're willing to learn whatever, do whatever it takes. You got to go to those different websites that are provided. You got to research, find free webinars, thing with claim systems. So you can, you know, there's free trials. If you Google like a free trial of a certain claim system, you can do that and play around with it. You can learn how to use that particular vendor's claim management system. A lot of the claim management systems that companies use are, you're going to have your Guidewire or Atlas, however you want to call it. Citizens use Claim Center, which is really derived from that Guidewire system. And once there's certain systems, if you can use like a mainframe or any type of particular system, you can learn the nuances of other systems like State Farm, and I'm going to get into State Farm a little later, but I remember when I did my first deployment with State Farm, I was looking at ECS, and they wanted to do a day-long training. I said, you know what, let me just do it myself. I played with it for about an hour, then I went and just started doing claims. It's not that difficult. You guys just got to start researching and doing webinars and touching different aspects of multiple claims topics collectively, and things are going to start clicking for you. You can't just sit in one bubble. You can't just be filled. You can't, in my opinion, you can't just be filled. You can't just be inside. You can do that, but your chances are going to increase when you open your mind up to other options. When you start looking at workers' comp, when you start looking at general liability, you start looking at BI, you start looking at liability, you start looking at property, you start looking at all of these different parts of claims, and you just start researching. There's a ton of research online. Google, the internet, everything is there. You can sit down and read case law for insurance claims. There's so much out there for you to self-educate yourself. So you just gotta be willing to do the work, you know what I mean? Certain adjusters can provide you a certain amount of information, but a lot of it, if you research and then you network with each other or whoever, share your information, bounce ideas off of each other, that's how doors are going to open up for you guys. I really think a lot of the problems with why certain people aren't deployed is networking. And you got to stop. I know I'm going to get some backlash for this. You got to stop, you know, it's this whole, and I'm trying to figure out how I want to say this, it's this whole attitude that you got to bow down to adjusters who have been in this industry for for 10, 20 years. I'm like, that's not me. That's never been me. And it's either you're doing the same job that I'm doing. Yes, I understand that you may have a little more knowledge base than me, and, you know, we can communicate and try to help each other out, but I have value as well. You have value as an independent adjuster. You just got to learn your technique and trade. And that's why you guys got to really, when I keep saying that you guys have to network with each other, that's what you really got to do. A lot of the other IAs, you guys are new IAs, you guys are just giving everything to the older adjusters. You're giving us all your leads. You're telling us, hey, I got this job. You got to be careful who you give information to, too. Hey, I got this job. How do you think I should handle it? You don't think that other IA is going to go, hey, I heard about this. Let me go give that information, you know, whatever. But so I say that all to just say you guys can, new adjusters can work things out and figure out that way. Even older adjusters, we can start networking better as well with newer adjusters and with different people in general. But in terms of all these certifications and getting all these licenses, some people do it, some people don't. I personally don't see the value in buying a whole bunch of licenses. The only reason I still have a lot of licenses now, and I'm just waiting for some of them to expire or I'm going to surrender some of them, is because I was working State Farm. Yes, for State Farm, they like you to have a lot of licenses. You may get deployment, you may not get deployment, I don't know. But I don't see, even the people that responded in that little survey, majority of them didn't have an Xactimate certification or nothing. They self-taught themselves. Some of them had 4 licenses, some of them had 5, some of them had 10, some had 20, some had 30. It was just all over the place. It was all over the place with who had what. Now, if you have a lot of money and you just want to cover all bases, you know, go ahead, go out there and get all the certifications and licenses to your heart's content. But right now, with how things are going, I don't think there's going to be a lot more deployments until, if, mind you, a lot of us are saying, yes, this hurricane season is supposed to be very active. There's going to be a lot of work. We never really know what Mother Nature is going to do. Mother Nature can say, yeah, it's going to be active, but none of those hurricanes are going to make a landfall. Then what's your plan then? What are you going to do when you've been waiting till the next hurricane season to land a gig, when you could have been taking maybe an assistant BI job? I've seen a lot of those that people don't take. Yeah, they may have paid $20, $25 an hour, but they're probably in your home state or where you live. Why not take that for a little bit, gain whatever knowledge you can? I'm also a big person on people should be staff before they become an independent adjuster. Just my opinion. You'll know a lot more than other adjusters, and you will last longer on deployments majority of the time. Now, State Farm. Everybody, you know, every IA looks at State Farm as the golden goose, the best thing since sliced bread. It's a place for a deployment, but State Farm isn't everything. You know, there's tons of other companies that use independent adjusters, and they probably pay more. During the hurricane, I felt sorry for everybody that was working State Farm because you guys were getting paid $300, $400, $500 less than what everybody else was making. I knew new adjusters that were working at State Farm making, like, I think it came out like $200-something a day, and I had some other new adjusters working with me at a particular deployment making $900 a day. It's all about how you network and figure out where the best opportunity is for you. And I know a lot of people have said, oh, you know, I'm not going to leave State Farm or this deployment because I want to be loyal and, you know, I gave them my word and I don't want to put in a 2-week notice. Well, are they being loyal to you now? That's my question. Are you that firm that you were with when you call them now and you know someone just said, hey, they're calling for a position, but they tell you that nothing's available? How did that loyalty work out for you? This is a business. It's not personal. It's business. So a lot of people get caught up in, oh, they care about me. This firm has so much integrity, and they're going to take care of me, and I'm one of their own. Okay, well, I hope they keep you employed. I haven't seen it work out like that, but for a select few, with quotation marks, a select few. Let me go on to my next topic here. I have in here that how long it can take to make money. to make money in this, to get a deployment, it can take a while. This isn't a hop in quick, you get money real easily, and you're going to be super rich. Now, there is a caveat to that. If you get in at the right moment or with the right company, you can make a pretty good amount of money, but you need to have a strong foundation in policy coverage and claims handling, which you can get, and then you can make pretty good money. Also, if you're good at networking and playing office politics, you can last a long time as well. For a field, there's always outside daily claims available left and right for field adjusters. And I see all that crap now. I'm actually kind of afraid of heights, so I don't like going on roofs. I just don't like doing it. But there's always daily claims somewhere, and if you're willing to drive, grind, whatever, I'm pretty sure there's daily work out there for you as a field adjuster. Now, a lot of people come from, you work for a body shop for 15, 20 years, you were working on vehicles. If you were a handyman doing construction, any of that stuff, that applies to field or inside auto damage adjuster, what have you. You guys already technically have a lot more experience than a lot of the adjusters that's been in the game for a while. So those people, you have to think as well that when you're marketing yourself and on your resume, if you've been doing construction, building houses, painting, doing roofs and everything, I mean, you know the whole process at this point in terms of how to what should be in an estimate. And that should be reflective on your resume. It shouldn't just say construction 20 years. What did you do in those 20 years? Did you do roof replacements? Did you do drywall? Like, what were you doing? Were you removing carpet? Like, put in there what you actually did. Market yourself appropriately. I don't make up stuff, but put in there what you know. And it comes up to my next point, which is, are you willing to travel? And that's a big thing. If you're not willing to travel, it's going to be hard for you to get a gig. I'm going to let you know that right now. If you only want to stay in one area and you're not willing to travel, that's probably why you aren't deployed as well. When I first got into independent, I was in 3, 4, 5 different states in less than 6 months. That's just how it was. You got to be willing to go where the money is. And then once I started, you know, networking and figuring a little other things out, I got to stay in one area. But you got to be able to, you got to grind up to get to that point. You're not going to get to that point right away. Sometimes you can get lucky and do that. But you got to be flexible and willing to drive. Now, hopefully you have a spouse, partner, wife, husband, whatever, that's understanding of that, because with this, there's a lot of time you're going to be away from your family. You got to recognize that too. There's going to be times when you want to see your kids, you know. So you got to think about those factors as well. So I know that's a lot of reasons why people don't want to leave their home and they want to stay where they're at, but that's fine. But just realize that a lot of times you're limiting yourself by staying in one area. You know, if you go on Indeed, I always bring up Indeed, and you just put in contract, there's a ton of contract positions, but they're in places that no one wants to go to. But imagine if you go there because no one else really wants to do that job. They haven't had too many people apply there, and they just go ahead and take a chance on you, and you get to learn so much. I mean, why not? Why not bite the bullet for a little bit? You may not make that much money on that assignment, but you're learning something valuable to your long-term career. If you want to make this a long-term thing, which a lot of people say that's what they want to do, why not go learn something? I remember I used to take assignments that were different just to, you know, expand my knowledge base. A lot of people want to stay in one particular area, and that limits them. I mean, you can become great in that aspect of claims, but you're limiting yourself at that point. So just be mindful of that. Another thing with field or inside adjusters, a lot of adjusters that are field adjusters, you got to be mindful that they really rarely have an understanding of what inside adjusters do and how policy coverage, reservation of rights, how any of that works. So you sometimes get people on there that say, I've been deployed for blah, 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 and that's not how you do a claim. That's because they really don't know. They really have no idea how it works inside. And then that's why I say, in terms of a lot of the handling for State Farm, I mean, most staff adjusters go into a State Farm assignment and last when it's inside because it's the easiest work, and it's just extremely easy for anyone that's been staff adjusted at first. Another thing is the mentor-mentee thing. You guys got to get yourself a mentor in your area or what have you. Some people will do it virtual. I just don't have time to really do it virtual at this point. But I think that's really important to find yourself a mentor, because if they're doing claims and, you know, they may have something that they may have you look at, discuss things for with you, you can ask them a question, yada, yada, yada. You're gaining experience that way. And I really think that's one of the best tools. And actually, a lot of people are mentors, but they're only mentors to a special, quote-unquote, select group of people. So that's why you got to try to find other people that are willing to do that as well. I think that's important. In terms of a lot of the other stuff, I'm not going to get into some of the other things I have on here because people are a little volatile these days, but I'm going to try to see if anyone else on the phone has questions. If not, I'm going to go through a couple of the posts on there to see if I forgot anything that I may have wanted to cover. Really, like I said, the main thing I want these sessions to be is I want people to call in so I can answer questions, because that's going to be the best way for me to get out information that's in my head to you guys. So that's really, you know, in the future, that's really what you guys need to convey to your newer adjusters. There's no stupid questions. Just call in, ask a question so I can get an answer for you guys. So I'm going to go through the line again. I mean, if I click on someone's number that already said they don't want to say anything, just don't say anything, and I'll click off your name. Caller 5227, you're live. (5692) you're live.
Hi.
Oops, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
With the certifications and the license, do you necessarily have to have your license and you have like 10 certifications necessarily to get deployed?
Well, you do have to have a license, you know, to get deployed. But in terms of the certifications, it's really hit or miss. And I'll tell you this about having an Xactimate certification. I've never had a deployment say you must have, I'm sure they're out there, but I never had a deployment say you must have Xactimate certification level 1, level 2, level 3. They just say, do you have Xactimate experience? In terms of all these other certifications, State Farm Property Auto Certified, that's only for State Farm. No other company cares that people are State Farm or Auto Certified. In terms of having some other certifications, I don't really see the point in having those, but people are free to get them. But there's nothing special about having all these different certifications. They just really want to know, can you do the job, and do you have some sort of experience?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Caller 8845, you're live.
Yeah, I figured I'd ask, would you recommend the best way to get into like BI, liability, marine, heavy equipment claims coming from property or auto?
Easiest way to get into those, if you're coming from property, like a property field adjuster?
Yeah, like let's say you have some experience in auto and field, desk, whatever. How would you get into something different, like, you know, BI liability? That's a totally different animal.
Liability, you just got to take a position for liability. They normally will let anyone into a liability position because you can really train someone on liability quite easy. It's really easy, actually, to train somebody on liability. And then at that point, you're building upon those theories of negligence, and you're building that into the injury portion. That's all you're doing. So once you get a clear understanding of how liability works and how you apply negligence for certain states, like Florida is pure comparative. So if you have someone that's 90% negligent and then you have someone that has that other 10%, how are you going to apply that to someone's injury? And a lot of that is reading the mechanisms of injury, reading their reports, their medical reports. How was there any extraneous factors in the accident? Was the person having a DUI? Were they speeding? Were they breaking any laws? What was the impact? And it's just building on top of all those things that people already know but haven't clicked together to make a decision or what's called a range of value for what they believe that person's injury is worth. So it's really not that difficult. It's just building on top of getting some liability and building on top of that.
Okay, interesting. You know, has anybody, I've seen it a while ago, has anybody put together a list of every firm that they're aware of, independent-wise?
There's a couple lists out there, but honestly, there's thousands of firms, and I don't know how anyone would consolidate all of them because there's new firms popping up every day. But right now, I know there's like 1,000 different firms out there. The best way is to go to like catadjusters.net or the National Association of Catastrophe Adjusters, and you can pull up thousands of firms through that those websites.
Okay.
And just they have their email information, phone numbers, everything's on there.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, and so like what I did when I first got into being an IA from staff, like every day I would add myself to 10 rosters. I would just email my information over, send an email with my resume. Hey, well, can you add me to your roster? And they start replying back and sending me all this information. And to this day, I still get information from those companies from 4 years ago that I got on their roster.
Right, right.
All right.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. 2-4, you're alive.
I did not have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Caller 1422, you're alive.
No questions at this moment.
Okay, thank you. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through some of the Facebook posts and see if there were anything that I may have missed I wanted to touch on. And then after that, I'll wrap this up pretty much today in terms of anything else. But let me just see if there was anything in the group discussions that I wanted to touch on really quick here. You know, and someone also just – it reminds me, someone asked me in terms of why I may respond or not, or why I shouldn't delete some negative comments. The reason I don't do that is for a very important reason, actually. When you get to these deployments, you want to know who you're dealing with. You could be sitting, that person can be your manager who may have said something off the wall or crazy, and you kind of know what you're dealing with. Knowledge is power. I mean, some of these people are so off the wall. I mean, why wouldn't you want to know what type of person you're dealing with? Just like, you know, those people that said they're the friends with State Farm, Vice President, and all the other stuff. I know they've been blacklisted now by State Farm, but, I mean, you just got to watch who you're around and what people say. That's why I don't delete that stuff, because I'm just thanking them for showing the world or showing the IA community who they are. Now we know what we're dealing with. If this person was my supervisor and may have let me go for some stupid reason, you can go back to their post. Oh, they were whatever. It's knowledge. It's knowledge and it's a record and it may help you in the future. I don't know. But let me go back through these posts here. Oh, this was about the auto, talking about the difference between ECR, ECTA, yada, yada. And like I said, for me, State Farm is really, you know, it's just if you can get in there and read their what's called SCPs. State Farm has their whole claim process, any job function, they lay it out for you in black and white, how to do it, how they believe you should do it, and the process. So really, technically, if you get in there on a total loss ECTA role, you can just read up on someone asked about bodily injury or liability or something. You can read those processes while you're there doing your other stuff. I mean, it's there for you to read if you want to be honest. Let's see here. And then just checking to see if there's really anything else on here that I really want to go over. Like I said, a lot of this is going to be now driven by people calling in to do asking questions. Someone had a question on here with the downtime that you're expecting waiting on deployment, would you rather work for a large insurance company or continue to as an IA? Like I've said a couple of times before, I've only recommended this life to one family member, and that's because she didn't have anything else going for her. And that sounded a little harsh. Sometimes I sound a little harsh. She had other things going for her, but it wasn't making a decent living. If you have a good job, or if you have the option to work for a large insurance company over doing this, me personally, I say go do that because this isn't constant for everybody. But if you have something telling you that you're going to be super successful in this and this is going to work for you, then try it. But I'm just saying you got to look at your risk versus reward. And like I said, with the market being so saturated as it is now, it's really the Hunger Games. You know, it's really difficult right now for people to get in and people to land a deployment. So what you also may be thinking of having a side gig, having a side hustle, you know, do some other jobs. Because while you're waiting, you're not getting any revenue. And then by the time you do land a job, then you're making the same money that you would have made at that insurance company that you could have worked for or your other career. I did see someone pop on here, so maybe they have a question. Let me ask them really quick here. Caller 6456, you're live.
Hi, I'm actually still at work, so I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm probably close towards the end, but yeah, you can listen. That's no problem.
Okay.
And yeah, I did change the time on people because, like I said earlier, I had something come up that I'm not going to be available at that time. But let me try to get as much little postings in here and try to answer some of that. And then if I see anyone call in, then hopefully they have a question that you guys were thinking of as well. And also in my where I posted, please call in now. You guys can type a question in there if you want to, and I can answer that. There's different ways, or you can send me a DM or something like that, and I can answer the question that way as well. But let me just scroll down here and see if there's anything else I wanted to touch on. There is something here that said Mitchell, not CC1, not AutoX. Those are all systems where you can write estimates for auto-damaged vehicles. Also with Mitchell, there's a aspect of that that's used for injury claims as well. If anyone was wondering, different claims management systems claims management system that people use. So I know some people are looking at that and saying, what in the world is Mitchell, CCC1, AutoX? You know, those are systems that companies use for evaluation of claims. Some people may have been curious about that. Let's see here. Do I know of any deployments in Tampa or Sarasota? Inside or field? Field, there's a ton of them. But are we talking about daily? Or, let me answer it this way. Inside, I know that Heritage has deployments via the Best IRS, and what was the other company that has some in there? Rurally. Now, when you call them, I don't know if they're going to say they have them now. And then for not Sarasota, because GRS doesn't have that contract there anymore for that deployment. They do still have one in Jacksonville, but that's broken down to a small group of people. That was for Security First. ASI. SKS is still sending people to ASI in St. Petersburg. I know that for a fact, but I was just speaking to someone about that. So that's positions that are available. And sometimes, you know, without things that I know, I can't just put a post out there sometimes because I like to have an email or something about it. But just like how this person just asked this question, and there's deployments that I know of in these areas, other adjusters know of deployments like that as well. And that's why it's important for you to network or something. So if someone, like I get it a lot of times, people will text me and say, hey, Josh, you know any of the deployments in this area or that area? Yeah, I know a couple, Heritage, you know, and ASI. There's also, what else was doing? AAA had deployment here. It was through, oh my God, what's that company that called me? Continental Staffing was a call I received. And there's something also in Orlando. I forget, a lot of the calls I get, I just ignore them and I just listen to the voicemail. It was something in Orlando for, what was it, commercial auto liability. So there's different deployments out there for various areas. You just got to network appropriately to get that information from some adjusters that know of it but decided to decline that opportunity. So, good question. Good question there. All right, so let me go continue down the list here. And, you know, because I see someone posted about money. If you took a poll of, and I started to do polls, but then, you know, I stopped. But if you took a poll of how many adjusters actually made it big in this industry, meaning making more than, let's say, more than $80,000 after all of their experience, after all their expenses, it's probably out of 100%, maybe 20% adjusters make more than that. When adjusters start breaking down their expenses and everything else, if they're traveling all the time, don't think that it's an extreme amount of money when there's not a catastrophe going on. Yes, it's a lot of money that above the poverty line, above middle class, you know, your upper middle, I guess you consider upper middle class at that point, but you're not making $250,000 a year buying, someone had on there, they bought a 57 acre ranch. That's rare. That's a rare percentage of people that are making that. Normally, if you have a good amount of experience and you're going good, normally you're making about 100, and I'm just going off my experience, about 100, what am I doing, like 100, 110, 125 is the average. So, and then on a cat year, you may break bigger than that, which is what I did. But those are rare times, and you got to build your craft to get it to that. When it's slow or when it's saturated and you haven't networked appropriately, you're not going to make that type of money. And if you don't have that staff background, you probably won't be able to hop from a gig, because you ask people that know me, Joshua, where are you going next? I already have 2-3 gigs lined up for, you know, something that may be completely different because of my background. I'm able to be flexible and go to different deployments and build different connections. Just like, something that just came to my mind, carnival claims. You know, not a lot of people don't think about carnival claims, but I had an opportunity to do carnival claims with a firm here in St. Petersburg. They're actually in Treasure Island, Florida, but you had to have a certain amount of litigation liability experience to do carnival claims. People don't even think about carnival claims. There's also an energy carrier in Tampa that had some claims at some point as well, you know, for a surplus line. So there's all kinds of different things, and you got to be looking, and you really got to be researching to keep your doors and opportunities open. Let me see if anyone new has came on the line. Nope. I'm going to continue down the list of questions, seeing if there's anything that comes to mind for as long as I can, guys. And like I said, like someone just put a question in there. If you don't want to call in and ask a question, just, you know, send me a question through one of the links or what have you, so I can try to answer it while I'm still on the phone. I'm just trying to see if there's anything else here. I'm reading this post here, property adjuster here. Do you get in different positions, certifications, drone training? You can Google anything and find a training and, you know, pay a certain amount of money for it, but do you want to spend that type of money for it? Or do you want to research it and find a cheaper class? I don't know. I mean, that's what I would do for drones. I'm not taking any drone training because, I mean, any boy grew up playing video games, and I'm going to assume it's just as easy as fly a drone as playing a video game, and I'll do my own easy study guide certification and doing it that way. And if I feel at that point I want to get some additional training, I'll do that. But at least when a deployment becomes available, just like that one company that I posted a few days ago, they preferred people that had that Part 107 drone certification, which you can self-study and get yourself. So even though you may have not used your drone or you don't have a drone, but just by you having that Part 107 certification and not going to a course or whatever, they were going to give you a deployment for that. So that's something that's interesting about drones, which is what I've been saying, that drones is going to continue to get bigger and bigger, I believe. Let me continue to scroll down here. Someone's basically saying the same thing, that not so they're not certified in anything. They just picked it up as they go, and they continue to stay employed, basically. So, I mean, it's if you're – now, some people can't – some people aren't able to pick up things. So if you're one of those people that, you know, you might not be the brightest, then maybe you might need a certification. But if you consider yourself able to, you know, read and comprehend, then I don't think it's going to be that difficult for you to pick up on different topics. You guys also got to be, you got to be a lot of people who put information in there about what they know, what they don't know. Be mindful of that too. You might want to research them because they sometimes they don't know what they're talking about. Like I'm looking at this long post and half the information is in there wrong, but I'm not gonna get into it with that person today. But let's see, I got a question on here. Okay, so when a firm, this is a great question. See, this is what I like when people put these questions in here or call in. So when a firm tells you the assignment is 6 to 8 weeks, how soon do you start networking for the next assignment? Immediately. You actually, when I'm on a deployment, I don't stop networking. I'm always going to continue networking because you never know when that deployment is going to end. They'll have you come there and say, okay, this assignment is going to be for 6 to 8 weeks. Normally, that's depending on how well you and those other adjusters that are working that deployment do. So if you guys aren't doing that well, then that client's going to say, you know what, this isn't working for us. Instead of 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to be done with you guys in 2 weeks, in a week, and they're going to start making cuts. And the people that stay the whole 8 weeks are going to be people that they know or have connections with. That's just how it works. So you got to network constantly because you never know when your deployment is going to end or when the client's going to tell them, hey, we need you to cut 2 people because we're not seeing the numbers that we need. And that brings me to another point about these assignments. A lot of people are just collateral damage. A lot of people are collateral damage. You have these deployments where you may be one of the best adjusters in the world, and the client comes and say, okay, so you guys really aren't giving us the numbers collectively that we would expect. You know, we're looking at these reports, and it should be more closures, more settlements, what have you. And we're not seeing that. The turnaround time isn't what we expect. Our staff adjusters can do it just as well, so we don't see why we need you. And then they tell you, okay, I need you to start releasing 3 people every Friday. The people, you may stay because you've been doing well, but a lot of times it's the people that they know that stay a lot longer than other people. And you're sitting there wondering why you got cut. I mean, point, it is personal, but I always go back to it's not personal, it's business, because it's a business for them, and they just want to, you know, however long they can use you, they'll use you. So you need to figure out however long you can use them, you use them. That's all this is, and it's an exchange going back and forth between the adjuster, the IA firm, and the insurance company. How can you guys use each other? That's what this is. Great question. That was a great question. All right, so let me continue to go down here. Oh, there was a property field appraisers. You know, a lot of these, what's interesting to me is that a lot of these companies now are saying you must have 6, 7, 8 years of experience or 5 years of experience or this, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, during the storm, you weren't asking for that. So it's a good indication of what happens, you know, that they need you during the storm. But when it's post-storm and stuff is drying up, it's only going to go to those people with in-depth experience. Those long-term contracts, like one of the best contracts out there for a lot of people know is with Citizens. Citizens in Jacksonville, Florida. There's a couple, there's like five major firms that do have that five-year contract. But to get in there, you got to, I believe it's minimum, I was working there, Finkel stuff, but to get in there, you got to have like a minimum 4 or 5 years experience. So a lot of new adjusters can't even think about getting into a Citizens position where you have weekends off, you're making $400, $450 a day, Monday through Friday, and life is good. But you can't get that type of deployment because you don't really have the necessary background. So that's why people that come from staff, oh, okay, I've been doing staff for the last 4 years. I can hop right into a Citizens contract, a more coveted contract. Those long-term contracts are very coveted, and it's really those do come down to a lot of experience because the insurance carrier itself is going to verify that information. All right, so let me continue down here. And like I said, if someone has a question, just pop one in or send me a message or call in so I can answer that. Let's see what else we have here. There was something that a term that I came up with when I was speaking with a couple of people. You have to realize what roster accumulation is. Roster accumulation. So there's a couple of things when firms will want your information and, you know, it just is what it is. There's times when, you know, we're trying to get a contract and the client's like, how many people do you have to do this? I need to know this information by this time and then I may provide you a contract. That happens a lot of time. A lot of companies won't tell you that's what's going on, but that's exactly what's going on. A lot of companies need, and this is where it's kind of, you know, but it's a business. A lot of companies need a certain amount of adjusters on their roster to maintain, say, a State Farm contract or, say, a Citizens contract. And, you know, they fall out of compliance if they don't have this many adjusters readily available at a given time. So they may drop their tier if they don't have those people on their roster with that. That's why they say, we need you to be State Farm Auto Certified or State Farm Property Certified. I didn't care to ever do the State Farm Property or Auto Certification because it's only if I was going to work CAT, and I knew I wasn't going to do a CAT duty for State Farm. But I did eventually get the auto just to get it because I was off and they were making it really easy to get the auto certification. But other than that, I had no wishes to work catastrophe for State Farm, and that's the only reason you need the State Farm auto or property certification is to work a catastrophe. It's not a requirement to work a non-catastrophe. It's only a requirement to work a catastrophe, but firms want you to have that because they get more seats, more contracts, more money based on you having them. So that's what that's about. Let me continue down here to see if there's any other things that I want to go over. Is that my car beeping? I don't know. Okay. All right, let's see here. I'm happy this adjuster's posting a lot of positions lately. That's really nice of her. Deployed, not deployed. That was something that I put up there just to give you guys a picture of a small sample that I took of adjusters working, not working. And what I calculated roughly was that 70% of adjusters aren't working and 30% of adjusters are. And I would think that's pretty accurate in terms of who's working and who's not working right now. You got to also understand that the IA world is changing. And when I say that it's changing, a lot of companies, a lot of people won't tell you this, but a lot of companies are tired of using independent adjusters. They see independent adjusters as people that just come in there, barely work, don't do the job right, get the money, and then go. That's why State Farm did cutbacks on a lot of adjusters. And a lot of companies are trying to figure out a way to lessen the amount that independent adjusters make or even the usage of them. And I was in a meeting a couple of days ago where the owner was like, you know, he's tired of using independent adjusters because they never do anything right. These are just his words. And he wants to figure out a way to lock into a certain fee, even when a catastrophe hits, or, you know, or not use them at all. And the reason for a lot of that is that a lot of these firms do not put proper training in place, or they put their cousin, sister, brother as the trainer that barely knows anything. And then they just ruin everything. And that's another reason that information should be shared, because all that's going to happen is that we as independent adjusters, we're literally killing ourselves out of a job by not providing people with the right information and not sharing, because they're going to go into that deployment, mess it up, and that carrier is not going to want to use independent adjusters ever again. Main reason that I won't give the name of that company, but the main reason a certain firm doesn't work with State Farm anymore, because they brought in a whole bunch of hocus-pocus adjusters, and that's what happened. They lost that contract, lost themselves future earnings in the millions probably, and, you know, that's just because firms are going to do what they want to do until eventually there's not going to be any real gigs. And I guarantee you, if a hurricane hits again, this is just my prediction, certain companies are going to have a set fee schedule no matter what, and it's going to be a way that they're going to lock independents into a lower rate or change something. There's going to be something weird that's going to come out with this hurricane season. Mark my words, I guarantee it. All right, so let me continue going here through the postings. Let's see. You know what I found interesting? You know, I said that thing about doing the mentor-mentee thing, and all those adjusters that always have something crazy to say, none of them offer to do that. And that just shows you, you know, the main reasons why they're on the site. I know a lot of people do mentor behind the scenes, but when it comes down to it, a lot of people aren't willing to share information. So you really got to look through the meaning of their posts sometimes when they're on their posting. But like I said, what I may end up doing, I don't know. I'm brainstorming it kind of in my head. I know I'm going to do the mentor-mentee thing, but I may eventually just remove myself from these groups and just have like a daily call or a weekly call where I just bounce. I don't know. I want to figure out a way where I can get more information to newer adjusters and try to get you guys where you need to be. But I'm brainstorming on how I can do that and avoid a lot of the crazies that are out there. That's what I'm really trying to avoid, because there's a lot of them. But let me continue scrolling down here about questions. Someone had questions about the New York test. Now, I will say this about New York license, that is, you know, that everybody consider it so special, and it's special for, okay, let me put it this way. How many times have I used my New York license? I used it for the New York PIP project, and other than that, I haven't used it. And that was with State Farm that I used it for that. So a lot of these licenses, I'm going to be honest with you guys, a lot of these licenses are State Farm things. They really are. And if you're a field adjuster, a lot of these licenses help out definitely for field adjusters, because you can drive to different states and get work in different states. But if you're just an inside adjuster and you remain in certain states where there's – for inside adjusters, if you're not doing property, certain states rarely have work that you're going to get. And that's what you got to look at. But if you're a property adjuster, then it's probably beneficial to have more licenses, because then you can go do daily claims in those states. But as an inside adjuster, you're rarely – I mean, some storms may happen, don't happen, but you're rarely going to get those Vermont, West Virginia claims or what have you. Unless you're doing the State Farm assignment, but I don't really. New York is a good license to have, though, just to have, because it makes you look special somehow. I mean, that's what they say. So take that, you know, as you want. But go ahead and get that license, because it does make a lot of people seem special. All right, we got another question on here. Is Xactimate certification really necessary when you have? And know the program for them. Hell no. The majority of the people that I worked this storm with, damn near all of us didn't have any Xactimate certification. We just were self-taught. I know I'm going to get a lot of backlash for this, but I don't know too many adjusters with an Xactimate certification. I really don't. And these people are doing their field claims. They're doing property claims. They're doing the Harvey. They're doing the Irma. They're still working now. I don't know many people that needed a certification or class to learn exactly. I mean, you really don't. It's all online, really. But, you know, people are going to say that in order to get a sufficient amount of understanding, you need to take a class. Okay, that's great. Yeah, and there's a couple of people that are really great in teaching those classes because a lot of people learn differently. I guess that's what it comes down to. A lot of people learn differently. So some people aren't, I'm be honest, some people aren't bright enough to pick it up themselves by watching YouTube or reading material or practicing. So maybe they do need a certification class, but is it necessary? In my opinion, I would say no. I don't see a use for it. A good way to ask me a question is, would you have your brother do it? So if you ask me, would I have my brother do an Xactimate certification? No, I would not. Great question, though. All right, so let me continue scrolling down here. Do anyone have any information on companies to go through to get certified? I'm going to say that's a very, let me say this, because I know I'm going to get a little heat on this. No company can certify you as a drone pilot. I guess in a sense they can give you a certificate to say you completed this course, but right now there's no requirement for a drone pilot to have a certification. You just got, to have a certification class, you just got to pass that Part 107. Yes, have at it. Go attend a class where you still, after you go through that class and play with a drone, you still got to spend another $100 whatever to go take the test. You don't take the test at those locations because the places that you do the testing centers at, you know, there's certain licensing requirements for people to administer that test. And I don't think most people could even meet those qualifications to do that. Look, somebody in here, you know, I wonder who Mary Jones is. She always, I feel like in another life we met or something, but she always comes up with some really good stuff. But she noted in there that the study guide for the drone license is in the spouse tie, which, yes, I put that in there for you guys so you could just read that and take the test like a couple of people have done. That's why I put it in there for you guys. Easy thing to have. Go get that. Study it. Go get that certification. I think it's going to be very helpful. Like I said to you guys, I do get a lot of the citizens' contract information directly. So there's going to be a drone contract that's going to come out. So now, if the hurricane hits, then you're going to be in a very great position to negotiate yourself with certain firms. If it doesn't hit, you know, hey, but at least that certification didn't cost you that much. It didn't cost you $600-$700, a $120 investment, and you have that license and opportunity to make a lot of money by having that drone certification. And I would even go further to say that, and this is just my opinion. Remember, everything I say is my opinion. Adjusters that have that drone certification, if a hurricane hits, I guarantee you guys are going to be gold. I'm telling you guys are going to be gold because you got to think about it. They want quick turnarounds during a catastrophe. And my understanding, those drones can hit a lot of places and get a lot of pictures fairly quickly without having people having to go up 2-3 stories to go climb a roof. So I'm just thinking in a catastrophe where, and this is just me talking, in a catastrophe, if I had a drone and I was drone certified in the catastrophe, I'd probably be going to multiple houses, got my photo, blah, 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 whatever. That's just me. I'm just saying you can figure out how you want to use it yourself. Someone in here said you can take a drone. You can actually take a drone tutorial class for $99 on www.droneauthority.org. So that's interesting, just for $99. So like I'm saying, you got to Google and research, you know, where you can get this stuff a lot easier. That's really what you got to do in a lot of these cases. Because, I'm not saying that this person is taking your money or whatever, the $400, $500, $600 class. I'm just saying there's probably easier ways to get that certification that you need. I'm all about saving money and doing what's practical. So, that's just my little tad bit on that. Let me continue to go down here and see what other questions may have popped up. Oh, I didn't even notice this. Look how this is pretty cool. This adjuster, Monique Williams, she said in 1 hour she's hosting a mentor call for a new adjuster. And, you know, she was answering that I just got my license. That's really nice of her. Now, I don't agree with now, see, I know she's probably going to be like, John, what are you talking about? But the whole $250,000 per year as an independent adjuster, I'm good, and I haven't hit. Have I ever hit that? No. I've broken two one time. But I don't know anybody other than some field adjusters that have broken $250,000. That's kind of not a red herring, but it's kind of like, you know, that's what I think a lot of people got into. They saw those big numbers on how much money you can make. I don't know anybody making that type of damn money. $250,000. I need to learn from whoever's making $250,000 what I'm doing wrong. But a field adjuster is doing a good storm that can make that type of money. But I'm telling you now, ain't nobody making $250,000 a year. Just saying. But let me keep going here and going down. Also, I noticed just in general from the people that are deployed and the adjusters that are in this field, a lot of the, and I have nothing against age or anything like that, but I'm just saying in general, the more vintage population of adjusters are working over the less vintage, not in terms of experience, but in terms of age. So, and, you know, a lot of that's probably for how they conduct themselves on the phone, how they know customer service, business relationships, all that experience they've accumulated over the years to know how to, you know, network the system. That's probably why. But eventually those adjusters are going to retire and, you know, other adjusters are going to take those places. But I found that to be quite interesting. Let me continue to scroll down here. Oh, that was the that was me about auto estimating little contract that came up. But let's see here. What else did we have on here? Someone, you know, someone's on here that said, oh, they're doing however many hours a day, you know, to coddle anyone, 14 hours a day. They can't have time to give anyone information. And, you know, I understand some adjusters, what they're saying about it, can't be bothered busy, but why even post anything crazy like that sometimes? If you're going to say, you know, sometimes people are too busy, blah, 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 whatever, okay, that's fine. But if you work in 14, we all work a lot of hours. I work a lot of hours. But if you're working 14-plus hours a day, you need to focus on doing that actual work than coming on there and doing a post about you don't have time to coddle anybody. It's really not about coddling anybody. It's really about, if I want to be real for a moment, if y'all want to allow me to be real for a moment, if I'm just being real, a lot of this stuff is set up, honestly. There's a certain group of people that have monopolized this industry to where certain people aren't going to get positions, or it's going to be harder for those people if they don't get into that Illuminati, quote, society, or the Masons. I don't know what type of society you want to call it, but there's these group of adjusters that feel like they can, and they probably do, to be honest. They all are connected, and they control so many different things, but they're like, oh, you don't get in, you get in. Oh, you won't get this assignment. It's not, they pick and choose who they want it to be easy for, who they want it to be hard for, and that's real. That's out there. You guys got to, you know, acknowledge that if you're a woman, if you're a new adjuster, if you're a minority, shit's going to be harder for you in this industry. It just is. It just is. That's just me being real with you. Certain people have power, and they monopolize it. They will block you from getting certain positions, or they won't tell you about it. That's just, you know, the nature of this industry that we're in. Until we break that mold where we get more new adjusters like you guys trained, and eventually when you guys become those managers and leaders, you remember that someone was nice enough to do this for you, that you let some of those other people into this quote-unquote secret society that normally wouldn't have been in that position. That's what it's all about, really. Or it's going to continue to be 30% of adjusters not working, I mean, 70% of adjusters not deployed, a certain age group only deployed, you're going to continue to get that. And you're going to continue to get, oh, I'm not deployed. It's been 6-7 months because y'all not working together. Y'all not breaking those molds. You guys aren't using the power that you guys have if you were collectively together. So, I mean, I really, like, there's a lot of things I could go into about, I send subliminal messages about things that I post, but, I mean, it's hard to explain, and that's why I really want to start speaking to people in person and trying to do meetings, but it's this industry, man. I'm telling you, I've seen some crazy stuff, and, yeah, just God bless you guys, and just always keep that third eye open. Please keep that third eye open and just, you know, be aware that everything ain't what it seems, you know. So let me continue down the list of information here. See if there's anything else I can come up with for you guys out of these posts. And so, I mean, I'll be honest. This post about are there any discouraged adjusters out there feeling as if Irma and Harvey was it for you and no more open doors? Hell yeah, a lot of people are feeling like that because for a lot of you guys, look, people haven't told you this, but for a lot of you guys, Irma and Harvey was your last time you're going to work. Let me just throw that out there. It's just the mathematics, the statistics of who make it, who don't make it. Yes, Harvey and Irma was the last deployment for a lot of you guys. Now, if another crazy hurricane season comes through, have at it, but not everyone is going to cut it out in this, and the main reason people aren't going to make it in this industry is because people are afraid to network together and truly help each other out. That's the main reason. There's work out there. There's claims out there to be work. There's companies that were probably willing to put more positions out there, but people aren't willing to work together and to help each other out, and it's going to continue to be this tight little knit group of people that's working, and then eventually they make some mistakes on contracts because they brought their cousins and family members in. That's all it is. So you really just got to try to get in, get your money while you can, get out, hop in, hop out. You know, when that's what you got to do, because human nature, people are just going to continue to be selfish and self-serving. And all, like I said, this is all just my opinion on the industry and how I feel. That's just what it is. It's what I've observed. I'm a psych major. I mean, that's what I was doing for a lot of time, is observing and writing reports and looking at human behavior. And this is, I mean, this is, it's, the similarities are just troubling. The group think is crazy in this industry. But anyway, let me continue to go down the list here. I'm sorry I got off on a tangent. Let me continue. Let's see. Something about, now one thing I will say about contractors, you guys know a lot of information about the building of homes and what's necessary. Now sometimes that doesn't translate over into Xactimate, because Xactimate is a claim system where you got to do things a certain way for insurance companies. But some of the smartest things that I found that I noticed, but firms wouldn't implement this. We had a roofing guy. And I kid you not, this guy was a damn genius. This man was a genius. He knew everything there was to know about roofs, building a home, everything. Didn't know Xactimate to save his life. Couldn't figure out how to use it, but he knew his roofing, everything. He just knew so much. And, you know, when we started bouncing stuff off of each other, I would work with Xactimate. He would get in there and say, if a PA was arguing with me about this, I'll say, hey, have a quick look at this. Do you agree with him? Boom, 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 boom. It's just, you got to network it that way. Sometimes people are going to have certain things, and a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of these contractors, field adjuster guys, they're thinking, oh, I can do this all by myself. But when the roles change and you want to go inside, you're going to need one of us inside adjusters and vice versa. So you got to be careful of that too, because I still honestly would have been on deployment without that roofing guy anyway, but that roofing guy, you know, he needed help. I helped him out, and a occasionally when I had a tough question, I would ask him, and that's how it worked out. And he, you know, he always said that, you know, anytime I want to reach out to him, I can reach out to him. Anytime I have new adjusters that I want to send his way, I can send that out to him. Anytime I'm in the area, I can live, come stay at his house for free if I'm working an assignment out there. That's how you build a connection. And this guy is like 65 years old and owns an estate in Texas. So it's all about building those connections. That's what it's really about. And anyway, I'm continuing going. As you guys notice, I get sidetracked a lot. I don't think any new numbers are in here, and people haven't came up with any new questions. So I'm just going to continue to scroll for a little bit. And then I think I'm going to go watch that I'm going to watch that movie with Taraji P. Henson. I think it's Acrimony or something like that that's coming on. I'm going to go watch that. All right, so I'm talking about hourly rate. Looking into different certifications, as many people receive, and using MetLife. You know, what firm is it? U.S. Cat Adjusters? One of those firms have that MetLife American Family work. I can't remember which one it is, but one of them do. I think I'm almost done with what I'm going to talk about tonight. Unless some more people come up with questions. Let me just double check. There's nothing in this group that I wanted to. I know that there's something that I wanted to go over, but I can't remember what it was that I wanted to go over. But let me see here. Making sure we're here. I think we might almost be done. Let me double check. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that I wanted to touch on this go-around. Like I said, next time, guys, just call in, tell your friends to call in. I'll answer questions. I try to gather topics throughout the week to go over with people. That CRN website is very important if you want to learn property claims, insurance claim handling, get a little taste of a little bit of litigation on what goes on. You go to the Civil Remedy Notice website. It's a ton of information in those complaints and on that website. You got to be creative on how you get information. So you got to do that. I appreciate you guys listening tonight. Hopefully next time more people can call in so I can just answer questions that way. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend.
Thank you.